It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The busiest 60 minutes of your day, the Wednesday Homer Hour. First, it's Rain Man. Caller number 5, 1-800-990-3776. 1-800-990-3776. Caller 5 will have a chance to win Cousin Subs for a year. 1-800-990-3776 is, of course, the Carbless talk and text line. Liz is more. This is as an entry into Rain Man. Even if you stink, we've had an offer. Because of the kindness of Cousin Subs, you get Cousin Subs gift card, for $25. And you have a chance to win the Cousin Subs for a year if you win the competition, which will be running now through the end of December. So many contests ahead. We generally do it each and every Wednesday. I will not be doing it next Wednesday because I will be on assignment. So you have Cousin Subs, great partner. Automatically, $25 if you're caller number 5, caller 5, 1-800-990-3776. And you could win, again, if you win the competition, Cousin Subs for a year worth about $300. The other great partner for Rain Man is Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service. But there's more, and I neglected to do this, and it explains even more why they are so good with employee benefits, which can't be complicated. That's what they help you with. Because it's Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service, because they've been doing it well for over 50 years. Yeah. That's one of a number of reasons why they're so good. But doing it that well for that long, Saganiac Planning, and a phone number you can remember, because all you got to remember is 783. I haven't figured out what 783 fits with yet. It's Saganiac Planning, 262-783-ROGERMARIS, ROGERMARIS, 6161.
That number again, 262-783-6161.
So in honor of Saganiac Planning, the first question is always the Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question about Marquette only, because they have been so supportive of Marquette for, actually, that I think is even more than 51 years. Steve in Pewaukee, you are a contestant for Rain Man. I need to know, as I ask every contestant, what your Rain Man resume is to give our audience some level of expectation as to how well you will do or won't do.
This is my second time playing. I scored 6 or 7, I believe, on the first try.
All right. Well, Pebble, I would say the second time, everybody does pretty much as well.
You probably bump yourself up like one or two correct answers. And if you get 7, this time he ties our leader with Matt and Tosa's tie, or is the leader right now at 7.
Or it might be that my questions were harder the second time. As mentioned, Steve, the first question is the Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question. It is about Marquette. Some of the other questions might be, but this one has to be. You ready to go?
Yes, sir. Go
three,
Warriors.
3, 2, 1, go. What team beat Marquette in an NCAA championship game?
Oh, goodness gracious. Not right. North Carolina.
Incorrect. 2014, this Alabama safety was first-round pick of the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, pass.
1987, this running back from Auburn was the 4th overall pick and also taken by the Green Bay Packers.
Brent Fulwood.
That's correct. 1956, this Alabama quarterback was the 200th overall pick taken by the Packers.
Bart Starr.
Correct. In the 2000 NFL draft, this quarterback was pick number 199.
Brock Purdy.
Incorrect. How high did the Tuesday co-host John Anderson high jump?
7, 2.5
Correct. Bill Russell, 11 NBA titles. How many seasons did he play?
13.
Correct. LeBron James, 4 titles. How many seasons has he played?
20.
Incorrect. Yeah. What current Brewer was the 3rd overall pick in the baseball draft?
Andrew Vaughn.
Correct. Andrew Vaughn, 6 homers for the Brewers. How many career homers? 43, 63, or 83?
43.
Incorrect. This season, he leads the Brewers with 29 doubles.
Chris Yelich.
Incorrect. This season, he leads the Brewers with 20 stolen bases.
Christian Yelich.
Incorrect. This season, he leads the Brewers with 21 home runs.
Jackson Chourio.
Incorrect. This season, pitcher that leads the Brewers with 13 wins.
Freddie Peralta.
Correct. How many wins does Jacob Mizorowski have?
5.
Incorrect.
Was that after the buzzer? Did the buzzer gone there?
That was buzzer gone.
Yeah,
already.
You come on, Steve. You fiddled and diddled. You might have set an all-time record. Pebble, we're going to have to see how many seconds Steve fiddled and diddled early on. All right. I got 6.
I have 6 as well.
Yeah. If it had been 7, Pebble would have disagreed because of the end. All right. You'd be mad you didn't get more. What team beat Marquette in an NCAA championship game?
North Carolina State.
NC State. That's correct. Marquette beat. 2014, this Alabama safety was the first-round pick of the Packers.
Ha-ha, Clinton Dix.
That is correct, yes. Brent Fulwood, the 4th overall pick. Packers took him. And, yes, Bart Starr was 200. This is important, Steve. You got to know this. Bart Starr, 200 pick. This quarterback was pick 199.
The GOAT and a Michigan Wolverine legend, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Yes. Nicely done. John Anderson, 7 and 2.5. Nicely done. Bill Russell, 11 titles in 13 years. LeBron James has 4 titles in how many years?
22?
22. Yes, Andrew Vaughn, 3rd overall pick in the baseball draft. Right. Andrew Vaughn, 6 homers for the Brewers. How many in his career? 43, 63, or
83?
83, yes. He hit 21 for the White Sox in 2023. This season, I feel bad for you here. We'll see how bad I should feel if how many the Pebble gets. This season, he leads the Brewers with 29 doubles.
Jackson Chourio?
Correct. This season, he leads the Brewers with 20 stolen bases.
Bryce Terang?
Correct. And now, were you you had to be laughing, Pebble. This season, he leads the Brewers with 21 homers. Say it again, Steve. The 3rd time, it would have been right. Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
Freddie Peralta leads the Brewers with 13 wins. How many wins does Jacob Mizorowski have?
4, I think.
He has 4. So, I think, Steve, you got 6. Pebble, he should have gotten like 9, don't you think?
He should be our current leader right now. Yeah,
he should be. But you know what that means? There's one plus to this, Steve. You can compete again next week. I will be here the following week because you're not the leader. And so you can just keep at the rate you're going. You might get to $300 just in $25 gift cards. So we haven't had anybody get there. You can still play because the lead is now 7. Of all the ones you missed, which do you feel worst about? The worst.
My Christian Yelich guess is on the stolen bases, and
that was that makes sense. Run. He's fab. He's like 96%. He just doesn't have more than Bryce Terang. I bet he's close. Jackson Chourio. It's hard to realize that he was like leading baseball at one point, but not to have picked Yelich for home runs. Come on, man! But you were mentally beaten by then, right? I can't get to 7. This stinks. And yes, you should know the connection between Bart Starr and Tom Brady. Bart Starr was the 200th overall pick. It might have been like the, 26th round. It didn't matter. It was pick number 200. And Tom Brady was pick 199. Think of that. Two of the greatest quarterbacks ever were almost some 44 years apart, the exact same pick in the draft. All right, Steve, thanks for playing.
Thank you.
You bet. Yeah, I think these questions were generally a little easier than normal. I had some old ones. When I do old questions, I always feel like maybe I need a little bit, make them a little bit easier.
Well, like I said, if he follows the Brewers and the Brewers today, and he knows what's going on with their ball club, then he should have gotten like 4 at the end.
Yes, and part of this was people need to know more about the Brewers. Now, they no longer have a four-game lead. The Cubs won earlier today, beat the Reds, so the Brewers' lead is at 3.5. And I will state what the manager of the Brewers will state directly or indirectly. It's August 6th. It's August 6th. I don't think you say, if it's September 6th, he might address what the lead is, and because then you're down to, what, 20 games, something like that. Right about 20 or maybe even less than that. Too many games left to get too excited. But a cushion is always nice. Even if the Brewers lose tonight, and I'm not saying they will, they still have a three-game lead. Who would have thought that lead would have kicked up to four games, which it was. Cubs won. Brewers play tonight against Atlanta with a 3.5-game lead, if you want these specifics. Jason Wilde. Next.
This is the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Everybody should get information on the Packers from Jason Wilde every day of the year. We do our part to some degree on the busiest 60 minutes of your day, the Wednesday Homer Hour. Jason Wilde, answer the Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. After the Nate Hobbs injury news, do the Packers need to make a trade for a cornerback? Yes or no? I vote yes. Seventh round pick, something. You got it. You got to add another player. What do you think? Want to join my club?
No. No, I definitely don't.
Why not?
I don't think they I don't think they need to do that.
Oh.
How's the poll going, Pebble?
You're doing better than I am. But there aren't many votes.
Okay, still early. A lot of ball.
But what I mistook all the things you've talked about. You part of my case was hearing you talk about.
I understand what your case was.
Yeah,
you're a smart guy. You listen sometimes. So what I would say is that you've made your bed. I don't think. Like I think the reality is that if you go out and trade for someone. You're just trading for somebody else that's probably going to get cut anyway. Like nobody's giving up starting caliber corners at this point. Like you didn't jump into the free agent pool, which is fine. I don't have a problem with them not, you know, going out and spending on multiple free agent corners. Now, where's our guy?
See, my answer to Jair this, Jason, Alexander. Is if I like somebody. I don't want to have that player, if they're going to be cut, going somewhere else.
No, I agree.
And I'll give up a seventh round,
conditional seventh. I'm just curious how many guys are out there that they, like, really like are likable, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, at this point, you know, maybe there's some teams with surplus corners. I can't say that I know the other 31 rosters, like, the back of my hand, but... you know, there's an old adage in the NFL, you can never have too many corners.
Yes.
But clearly...
Didn't Rob say that, or did somebody say that
before? He did. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think he was the first one, but he definitely said it. But the reality is that the Packers are at the other end. They don't have enough corners, at least right now. Now, that could, again, that could change. You know, Hobbs comes back, stays healthy. You know, maybe they're in a better spot. I'm not saying that that's unreasonable, unrealistic, on anything. But I do think that they, you know, kind of put themselves into this spot on purpose, right? I mean, we had this conversation with Goody during the off season, and then in June when he cut Jair Alexander, I went back and used the quote in my Channel 3000 story today. You know, he acknowledged that those guys behind, you know, Hobbs, Nixon and Carrington Valentine were inexperienced, and he was okay with that. Now, again, the premise was, hey, if our three guys are all starting, because, you know, they obviously were planning on Valentine having a big role, and he probably still will. If all three guys are starting and they all stay healthy, we're fine. But that's a huge if in this league, and clearly already we've reached a point where one of them is not available. So what I'm saying is I agree with the premise that they need corner help. What I disagree with is the likelihood that they're going to find Like, look, when they got Rasul Douglas off of the practice squad of the Arizona Cardinals in, what was that, October of 21, maybe? He was great. He was fantastic. And that was a great, 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 great move by Goody. He deserves all kinds of credit for making it. But those are the outliers. Usually, you know, the old Lee Remmel, the old PR director, used to call them ham and eggers. They come through here, you know, they get their breakfast, and then they'd be gone. And I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of guys out there currently that you're going to get on the trade market, because if you have extra corners and you listen to the old saying, you're going to keep your extra corners. You do not want to give them away. And the Packers are in such a place that, let's be honest, not only do they need a corner, you know, they're Bo Melton's not that far away from playing. And there is no, other than his
that
parents,
is a definition of making a trade. You just, when a person says that they're there, then that means you got to add somebody.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's too late, because it can certainly happen, but it is more likely too late than not.
All right. And now I need to help you on this. And Matt LaFleur, I think Luke always wants to be perfect, and this is an imperfect game. Sometimes you just got to go, and I think he's starting to learn that. That's just crap. I mean, it's just, I guess you don't have anything to say. Like, he didn't just start playing football. The issue of it's an imperfect game or that he probably heard that first in grade school. It's not about, his problem is he has a problem with his ability or technique or something. It has nothing to do with he always wants to be perfect. Clearly, he's not perfect, and he has to change that. I don't know why they come up with this crap. For a kid who's played football so many years. Now, it might be that the level is higher and his skills that worked at lower level don't work at this level. But he always wants to be perfect, and this is an imperfect.
You're
Come
not a
on,
fan.
Man.
Of that one.
No, it's crap. And it's the wrong thing to say. All right, let me ask you this. Do you think that's Van Ness's problem?
Maybe. Because people who are worried about being perfect, first of all, that is a problem. I have someone in my house who has the same issue.
They're not playing in the NFL. They weren't a first-round draft pick.
I understand, but no matter what level you're at, if you are a perfectionist and you allow that to impede your ability to succeed, it doesn't matter. And I'm not saying he's got...
He just became a perfectionist? No, he's been a perfectionist his whole life.
But here's the problem. Right, but he's gotten to the NFL on... Obviously, he's talented. No one's disputing that. But he played 2 years at Iowa. He never started a game.
Right.
What they did when they drafted Lucas Van Ness is what a lot of NBA. I know this is going to sound ridiculous.
Yes,
but I'm going to say it anyway.
All right.
Okay. Lucas Van Ness is Giannis. Here's what I mean. They drafted him based on his potential, right? Like when the Bucks, if he were to become Giannis, which would mean he would become like Miles Garrett, J.J. Watts, right? The great pass rushers. Like, that's what Giannis
By the
did.
Way, but when Pebble, the, let's do Jason a favor. Don't put this as a highlight.
Yeah,
don't want to do that. That'll get him on the national show. This comment will get him on the national show.
I definitely don't want that.
And I know you said you don't, but you just said something that will get you on the show. But go ahead.
I appreciate that. Yeah. But my point, and I, at its core, I think you understand my point.
I do.
I know you do. And because a lot of NBA teams draft based on potential.
Yeah, who
right?
was the That's Chinese guy that the Bucks took that they were doing the same on him? They took him with like
Yi Jian Lian.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I can't believe I pulled that out. That's from my Bucks days covering the team. But my point is that. Look, that's what they did here. And he's definitely not going to turn out to be Giannis. We can all agree on that. But he could turn out to be pretty good.
Problem is that he's a perfectionist. His problem is he doesn't have the ability and enough moves to be successful at his position in the league. And that's not a perfection issue. That's a lack of skill to this point in his career at this level. It has nothing to do with his head.
I get it. You're making a very strong argument. I respect it. My feeling is that he, instead of just letting loose and playing, he is thinking too much, trying to do it perfectly. And that is, I don't think he said, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pebble, I don't think LaFleur said that that is Lucas Van Ness's only problem or his primary problem or his biggest problem. Did he? Is that what he said?
I don't believe so, no. I have to go back and look at the tape, but.
Yeah, I don't think he said, you know, the only thing holding Lucas Van Ness back from being a great player is he tries to be too perfect. I don't think he said that. So, again, I don't think Matt LaFleur, what he said is a lie, but I agree with you that I don't think it should be the primary reason why we say, well, you know, the reason he hasn't succeeded is because he's a perfectionist and he's not just letting loose and playing. No one should or will say that. And in fairness to Matt LaFleur, I don't think Matt LaFleur said that either.
Oh, the quote I have is, I think Luke always wants to be perfect, and this is an imperfect game. Sometimes you just got to go, and I think he's starting to learn that.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Come on!
I mean, I would also go. Well, I mean, he's been, you know, again, he played with a broken thumb all last year. He looks healthy. He looks explosive. He looks better this year.
Right, and the answer is, I'll be Matt LaFleur. Everybody asks about him his first time. He's been hurt. He's healthier now. Let's go. Let's see.
That's good.
I mean, that's the bigger. That's a good answer. That is, we would agree on this. That's the bigger issue that people don't know about because they don't tell us the truth all the time. Injuries are a much bigger issue. And if you're wondering why a player is well below their norm, you should just assume they're injured to some degree, even if you don't know. That is the number one reason that players perform significantly below their expected norm, I would say. You want to join that club?
More guys than not.
Yeah.
That's a pretty major
thing. I mean, that's an easy answer to me. You said, Homer, he was hurt last year. He's healthy. Let's see what happens if he can stay healthy for a year. Because then the other issue becomes, can you stay healthy? Some players can't, and that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I agree with that, too.
All right.
Oh, this is starting to get uncomfortable.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. All right. Everybody, I think the more discussion, to me, the one player that gets more discussion than any other, though it was nice that you brought up Quay Walker today. Everybody's fascinated. You could talk every time I talk to you the next week or 2 weeks about Matthew Golden and people will be happy. Whatever you say. Say whatever you want. Yeah. I want to know what you want. Knowing that everybody wants you to say something about him, tell us what you would use in your first 30 or 60 seconds.
Yeah, well, first of all, you and I used to do this all the time in a previous iteration of the show. Who do you like? You always used to ask me, who do I like?
Yeah.
Oh, I like him a lot. I mean, a lot. Like, I drew the comparison. I don't know if I said this to you and John Anderson yesterday or not, but I definitely said it on our show. Like, reminds me of Greg Jennings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't use that comp.
And my answer would be, explain what.
Okay. So, it's a bunch of things. All right. First of all.
This is about what you saw in Jennings early, like when you're seeing Golden early, not what the player that he became.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how good Golden will turn out to be, but I like what I see so far. And I would say that the things that I like are, first of all, he's got really strong hands. I should really, you know, I should either have Tausch do it or I should do it. We should get Greg Jennings on because I'd be curious and I'd say, hey, I want you to look at Matthew Golden and tell me what you see. Because what I see is a guy with really strong hands. That's something that Greg Jennings undeniably had. What I see is a guy that is incredibly smooth. The phrase I used to describe how Greg Jennings ran routes was that he glided. He glides across the field. And that's how Matthew Golden moves. Like some guys are just lightning fast, and he's obviously very fast. I'm not saying he's not. some guys they can run routes, but it looks like it's kind of hard work, right? When they run, he just glides. I mean, and it's amazing. He's obviously really athletic. I think he's another thing that he's similar to Greg. I think if you check, they're both listed at 5'11". And Greg Jennings was he went on to become like a bodybuilder after football, right? He was stacked. Like, he was a really strong, thickly built, athletic guy. And so you start to put all those things together. Obviously, he was a second round pick, not a first round pick, but that's the comp I make. And I know that Greg said and did some things after he left that rubbed people the wrong way. But when I say it, when I say that's who he reminds me of, I mean it as a very much as a compliment, like a really, really positive thing to say about him. So, and I also say that knowing that if Greg Jennings in the training camp in 2012, so I think that was the year that they started with the 49ers, or maybe it was 2013, his last year in Green Bay when he got so pissed at Rodgers for when they were playing the 49ers, Rodgers telling him, hey, well, you guys should sign him during the game, right? He got so angry about that. The untold part of that story, and I'm not saying that Rodgers should have said what he did because it was kind of a jerk thing to say, but the untold part of that story, or at least forgotten part of the story, is that Greg Jennings said they approached him for a contract extension, that training camp. They offered him $12 million a year average, big signing bonus, and his response was, don't talk to me unless the average is $15 million. Unless it's $15 million, there's nothing to talk about. And the Packers said, well, we're not going to pay that. And so he played out his contract and, you know, obviously signed with the Vikings. But I firmly believe, and I had two different NFL scouts who said this to me, so I'm not the only one who thinks it, that he would have retired as the Packers' all-time leading scorer or all-time leading receiver. He would have beaten he already beat out I think Driver's touchdown record, and then subsequently Devontae beat him out. But he would have retired as the Packers' all-time leading receiver. He would have passed Driver in receptions and yardage.
He showed his weakness not only in the contract but in his response to Rodgers. Clearly, Rodgers liked him, or if he didn't,
Jennings
should have understood that it didn't matter because he's only going to throw to you if you're open, and clearly Jennings was open enough to get passes. I don't, you know, we've learned about Jennings, and the more we've learned, it's not a positive as everybody thought. There are issues.
I'm not going to diagnose him.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers made him to some degree. Now, 90% of it may have been Jennings.
I mean,
would Jennings have been a good
as
good with
him? He was great with Favre, too, right? I mean, he was obviously, he was a rookie in 06, and it was clear from when he got here that there was something special about him. It just was.
Would he have been as good on another team? I say no. He'd have been good.
Well, he wasn't as good. He went to other teams, and he wasn't as good, right?
He was so, older than him.
I mean, but what I'm saying, because his time, he would have been with Rodgers the whole time. After starting out with Favre, he had Favre 06, 07, and then he would have had Rodgers, you know, 08, 09, 10, 11, 12, I mean, all the way through. And he would have, I agree with those scouts. Like, I always thought that.
Has he admitted he messed up about the contract?
Yes, actually on our show he did.
I should have been listening.
It was early on.
I need one final comment from you before because I know we're a little bit late. All right. Sterling Sharp said this. I could die on the operating table. Not one person from the Packers organization said, hey, how did your surgery go? Not one person from the organization. And my answer to Sterling would be, that's because you were a jerk to everyone. It's hard to believe that if that's true, that it is. But I can tell you why. No one liked you. You were a jerk to everyone. And I wasn't that close. It was clear to me. So, Jason, what would you say to Sterling Sharp with that thought?
So he predated me covering the team, obviously. But I do know, like, Ron Wolf loved him, even though he was a diva. And he pulled that. I mean, he really made a lot of people angry that year that he decided to stage a holdout before the regular season opener.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that really killed him here in terms of how people did he say that? Wait, is that recent? Like,
yes.
Did he say that after going in the Hall of Fame?
This is August 5th.
Okay, yeah, that was right. It was at least leading into it. He sued the team. Like he wondered why Ron Wolf was like, keep that blankety blank out of the building. I don't want him here. Like he has every right. Right? I'm not a lawyer. I rely on my.
But everybody needs to be aware of all the facts.
You can sue whatever you want, but you can't. Like, if you sue the team and the team doesn't want you around, I think you can understand why they don't want you around. Right? Like. Yeah. I didn't know
that, so I'm glad I brought it up because I would say he still was deserving to be in the Hall of Fame, and I think long before he got in. But
I agree he belongs in the Hall of Fame. I believe that if you would have forced me to choose one for this class, I would have picked Mike Holmgren instead.
Aren't they in different groups though?
They are, but I'm just saying, and also different rules. Holmgren had to get 80% of the vote, and he came up like two votes.
Holmgren
shy.
Getting to a Super Bowl with a second team is
yes,
huge. It's
exactly,
very, very – no
exactly
one's ever
right.
won with the second
that's
team.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Right? That's the difference. Yep.
It'd be mm-hmm. close. All right. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Jason Woolley, all Packers all the time. Tim Van Voren, not next, but soon. What is right now? Hey, Wisconsin sports fans, it's almost that time of year again. Football season around the corner. August the 20th. And please, don't call in unless you can be there. Otherwise, you're wasting everybody's time. Don't take a spot unless you want to be there on August the 20th, the Fantasy Football Draft, ESPN in Wisconsin at Pottawatomie Sportsbook. You're taking, free food, great prices, and the full VIP experience, all for fans 21 and up. Again, August the 20th, the evening at Pottawatomie Sportsbook. If you can make it and want to be in my league, last year I finished second, caller 10 and caller 11, both. You'll win a spot in the Fantasy Football League. But don't call unless you can be there on August the 20th to take your players or have somebody who's representing your team. 1-800-990-3776. 1-800-990-3776. Caller 10 and 11. Both will get a spot in the Homer League. August the 20th, we draft Pottawatomie Sports Pick and a lot of free stuff that night. Next.
Listening to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports. Coming up in a few minutes, the Brewers against Atlanta. Playing the Braves. Their lead is at 3.5 games. The Cubs won this afternoon against the Reds. And the Brewers, yes, do have the best record in baseball. The dilemma is everybody knows they're not that good. They're not the best team in baseball, but they've proved it through 115 games. You got 47 to go. 113 games, excuse me. So 59 to go. 49 to go. But maybe they'll prove it over the course. Right now they have the run differential, which is important because that tells you how many you're beating teams by a lot and losing by a little more than other teams. But I said, what you want to watch is the odds at the sports books on the Brewers to win the World Series. Right now, they're tied with the Padres behind three other teams. They're behind the Dodgers. They're behind the Cubs a little bit, the Phillies, and maybe the Mets. I might have. Man, I'll have to go look at it now, but the point is, those people don't believe that the Brewers are as good as they are. Now, if this continues, and, you know, but on September the 6th, it'll be an entirely different story. And that's, it's not a dilemma, but as we have the official slogan for the Brewers as created by John Anderson, which I like played every day, because I think that represents the 2025 Brewers, the 2025 Milwaukee Brewers Bees. But if they continue to have the best record in baseball, you can't say they're bees.
Get enough bee stings, you can bring down a bear.
What was that again?
Get enough bee stings, you can bring down a bear.
Right. And the Brewers are the bees. But if they continue to have the best record, then they're not the bees anymore. They're closer to being the bear, even though nobody expected that when the season started. And that's the dilemma. I wish Pat Murphy will say it. I'm sure it's August the 6th, or there's a challenge for the Brewer players to realize, to me, like, you're, what made you special is that you're this group of bees, like John Anderson said.
Get enough bee stings, you can bring down a bear.
They continue to have the best record in baseball. Murphy will be the first one to say, I can't call them bees anymore. We become the bear. Now, that's what he said. There's a responsibility. I don't remember his exact words. But that's the dilemma. You play that way. Now, you're the bear. You're the one everybody's coming after. But I think he's afraid, because that's not what made him great. What made him great is believing no one thought they were any good, proving people wrong. But you keep winning, you got it. You become the bear, even if you don't want to be the bear. And then it changes. They have the best record in baseball. At the end of the regular season, I'll be disappointed if they don't make the World Series, and you should be too. They have earned the respect to be viewed like that. They're not there yet. Why? Because it's August 6th.
The three most important letters in sports. Even better than those.
TVB.
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 It's Fox 6 sports director Tim Van Boren on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
TVB, Tim Van Boren, Fox 6 Sports, three-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year, Hall of Fame wingman. TVB, you're required, like everybody else following the Packers, to talk first about Matthew Golden, unless you feel there's interest in somebody else on the team during training camp. I don't think so.
There's interest in 90 players on a team in training camp, Homer, but Matthew Golden warrants talking about first. He's legit, sure seems to be at least. Obviously, you know, we'll see him against some other teams starting Saturday.
What does the TVV Scouting Bureau say first about Matthew Golden?
Seems serious about his business. You know what I mean? First-round draft choice, kind of a young kid. You'd think maybe a little inconsistent, a little – remember the moment he's drafted, all the euphoria there? You'd think there'd be some highs and lows with what you see from Matthew Golden. I've seen pretty steady Eddie-type stuff from this guy. Takes care of the way he conducts himself, the way he takes care of business. Seems to be what you'd want from a guy who might ascend to a very high-profile role this year.
Does that catch your attention in terms of past players you remember – who seem serious about their business, or am I making too much of that given the history of the TVV Scouting Bureau?
Interesting question. I don't know that I have an answer that pops out to me one way or the other there. I would, and maybe it's just perception, I just wasn't expecting him to seem as mature and steady and polished in all these areas in his first training camp.
I have already stated that at left tackle, Rashid Walker is as certain a starter for the regular season opener as Jordan Love.
Okay.
You want to join that club? I think any discussion of a battle is made up, manufactured, either by the coaches, the team, and or fans or followers. There is no battle for left tackle, really.
Pretty extreme. Pretty extreme, Homer. I certainly think Rashid Walker's the starter there. I think that Travis Glover goes on injured reserve now. Jordan Morgan seems to be kind of slow out of the gates again.
Well put. I got to write that down. Slow out of the gate. That is great. Is there a history of that being a potential problem longer than the beginning? Should I not make too much of it? Slow out of the gates?
Last year, you sort of figure, he was coming back from an injury. He's transferring to the NFL level. It might be a little inconsistent. There's an expectation that there would be more consistency from Jordan so far this year. That has not been evident. But plenty of guys have gone up or down.
You know who my next person is slow out of the gates I'm going to ask you about?
All right.
Lucas Van Ness. Are you comfortable the TVV Scouting Bureau saying, yeah, I'll use that with Lucas Van Ness. He's slow out of the gates, or do you choose to use something else for him?
I'm not comparing those two. No, I'm not lumping them together. I think Van Ness has been ahead of some projections for him this year. Obviously, the Packers would expect him to be ahead of those projections, which were not that high by many people. But I am okay with Lucas Van Ness. I think that he's doing, seems like he's doing okay. I know for you, he has to show some versatility, diversification. He can't just be a one move.
Yeah,
kind of
like
guy,
he
crushed
Jordan Morgan because all he did was run right through him. Now, I will say this, and I wanted to assess this because I feel like maybe I'm too hard on Lucas Van Ness. And Jason brought up the issue of an injury. Like, I mean, I think injuries, they don't tell us about them. Maybe you're aware of them. And so I'm comfortable with, hey, Homer, he was hurt last year. I don't know where. I don't know what. I don't care. Give him a little time. I think that could be a bigger factor than you might believe. Would you tell me that, or is that just made up to cover for him?
I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if he was hurt last year. And I don't normally have advanced information or inside information on injuries because that's very well protected by these teams. I do know the Packers made a position coach change there. The Packers' defense got better over the course of last season with Jeff Hafley and his coaches coaching in a certain way. The defense was much better by the end of the year than it was at the beginning. And I would expect that we'll see progress this year from Lucas Van Ness similarly.
More sacks or notice him on the field?
Impact player. Impact player. Impact player. You need to, you know, if you're an edge rusher in the NFL, you need to show up. Sometimes you have to get there. Sometimes you have to force the play. Sometimes you have to penetrate and wreck the timing for an offense. That's an impact to me. And
has he ever had an impact for the Packers in any game at this point in his career?
His rookie year, he had a little bit than he did his second year. I'm not sitting here, you know, as the biggest advocate for Lucas Van Ness, but I think that, you know, let's just remember this recording here at the beginning of August, and you know, let's see what we got in November and December.
My view of TVV, and of course, I'm just a listener to the show, is I view your opinions as just honest. This is what you think. You have no willingness to be for anyone or against anyone. That's why your tone on the team is so important, because people can feel it as much as you say it. So what's your tone on this year's team now, or is it too early?
A whole lot of good players. And they need a couple of those guys to ascend to a higher level, or three or four of those guys to ascend to a higher level.
Do you have a list of those most likely in the TVV scouting bureau's opinion? Not who they need to, but who you believe.
Homer, you and I are of a certain era, so you know, maybe you don't track this stuff all the time. I don't track this stuff all the time, but there, I guarantee you, there are some of your listeners out there, and some of the people who follow this program, and a lot of people follow the Packers, would be right on this. I think it was last week the Madden ratings came out. Maybe it was this week. It's very recently the Madden ratings came out for this season. Packers only had two top 10 players. If I read everything correctly, only two top 10 players at any position in the NFL. Would you like to guess who those were? Would you like to take a stab?
No, I don't have any idea. Xavier McKinney.
Josh Jacobs.
Hold on. I want to apologize to Josh Jacobs. To not mention him first above everybody else on the Packers is a disservice to how he played last year. Josh, I'm sorry. It won't happen again. Anytime about the Packers, best player in the Packers, everybody should answer Josh Jacobs. Then you can go with Xavier McKinney probably and from there maybe Jordan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's two players on your whole team. Both of them were signed as free agents last year, which seems that so they came from outside the organization.
It's not good for Goody.
Which seems to indicate... Well, it indicates to me you've built up a lot of B-plus guys. Yeah. I think they have a lot of B-plus guys, Homer, a lot of them. You need some A's. Right.
And we got to give credit for Goody. He must have felt it because he went in and got a couple, right? You got to give him credit. Yeah. I don't care how you
definitely
put the
give
team
him credit
together.
For that. Yes. When he first took over as GM, he went out and got those four guys as free agents who made an impact, who made a big difference. Last year, he went out and got these two guys who are linked, seen as his two best individual players in league circles or in Madden circles.
All right.
So, yeah, credit goes there. All right, but you need B pluses to become A.
All right, about the Brewers. I know they're not this good. Everybody knows they're not this good. It's August 6th. But if they have the best record in baseball September 6th, it's a whole different story. You want to join that club?
Of course it is. But, I mean, it's phenomenal right now.
Yes, it is.
Road wins. And you can't take these things away from them. You can't take wins away. Stack them up.
Get enough bee stings, you can bring down a bear.
But the problem is, that's the greatest line of this team, if they keep winning, they're no longer the bees. They become the bear, right?
That's pretty good. Yeah, yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
All right. TVV.
Yeah. Keep singing.
Yes, it's phenomenal to follow. I mean, I wanted to know how the Cubs did today. You know the last time I asked that question? 1969.
Hey, Dansby Swanson stepped on first on his home run.
Yeah. Oh, it's good, but it's still the playoffs, and I don't think that's changing. Maybe you can convince me otherwise, the people who say the regular season is so important. TVV, you're the best. Thanks.
See you, Homer.
Is Thanasis next? Yeah, I'm sorry I'm late.